Blog Talk Radio.
Protects me from the wicked's deadly ordinance. Snakes master psychology. Phony people studying fakeology. Y'all see, I'm a god. It's not ego. Psalms 82, verse 6. Even JC know who be me. Lion face crew be deep. Soldiers for y'all. Screw these streets in front like the heat goat. That's how I leap. Waiting on the master. In the meantime, studying for my master. Building houses, growing college, sharpening my sword, and I'm cutting up scholars. Raising my sons, searching for the wife. Yeah, I pray he find a virtuous one. Stand for justice, relieve the oppressed. Call on Yah, deliver the fatherless. Let Israel be blessed.
Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'm strong.
Yah's name, I exclaim, feed my brethren wisdom. Yah willing, he will do the same. Shame and calamity on my family, trapped in captivity. Many years ago, holding the calico, never know how my life glowed till I stepped through them two doors. Left church, cause that was just fool's gold. My eyes, the color of onyx. Yah's message came to me as clear as you telephonically alerting me. He opened his scrolls and fed his words to me. Now I'm a gift to those hope lost whose spirit is froze. The knowledge of how they conquer their foes. Enemies be hatred itself. Something dangerous like this crack is wealth. Let's leave Babylon and let Yah be our help.
Keeping my eyes on Yah.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day. Another week, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise him, Yah, once again, for allowing us to bring to you his holy and exalted word. Today, we will be bringing to you your greatest strength or your greatest weakness. And oftentimes when people think of their strengths and weakness, they will identify various things that they individually can work on, whether it's you might have a weakness in eating something, or you might have a strength in not doing something. But the greatest strength and the greatest weakness that everyone should concern themselves with is one thing and one thing only. Which really means you only have one thing that you have to concern yourself with. There's only one thing that you really need to know about. There's one thing that you have to work on. And that is your spirit. Your spirit can be your greatest asset, your greatest blessing, or your spirit can be your greatest weakness and downfall. And we're going to go through the very scriptures so that you can see where you might be strong or where you might be weak. And this is so important because your spirit is the very thing that would determine salvation. It's also the thing that will determine your ability to be a part of the remnant. It's always your spirit that the Creator is looking at. I may add that many people under the erroneous impression that they have many, many enemies. Enemies in their family, many enemies of races. And it is true, you have enemies that you can see every day. But there's many enemies that you don't see. More enemies that you don't see that you have not been able to identify because you don't even know how to control and what control you. And we're going to share this with you. so that you can become a better you, a stronger you, and a more knowledgeable you. When the Creator created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, this is what the Most High said in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. And let's see. What our Creator said. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the very first verse, it says, in the beginning Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And watch what it says. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. It says his spirit. And why his spirit? Because little do people know, Yahweh is not just a spirit, but it is Yahweh's spirit that works on his behalf. And Yahweh had many spirits that do his bidding. And when Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, it was his spirit that went down, that would construct and do the things that he commanded. You know he commanded it. And you know it was something outside of him. Watch the third verse. And Elohim said, now why would he have to say anything? Well, he said something because this is how Yahweh communicates to the things that he will command. Let there be light. And once he said it, there was light. There was light. And the spirit that moved upon the face of the waters was acting on the behalf of Elohim himself as he commanded. And if we are indeed in the image and the likeness of our Creator, as he had told us, then there's various things that we will have to learn to control. And there is no greater control that one can have. There is no greater strength that one can behold than their own spirit. If you can't control it, it only means that you're being controlled. And instead of your spirit being your strength, now rather it's your weakness. And let me show you some things. That will highlight these truths. For example, if we go to the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, And we'll start at Proverbs, the 'cause there's many that we can show you. But I want to start at the 16th chapter. In the book of Proverbs 16. And this is what it says. In the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 32nd verse, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And why? Because little do people know, anger in of itself is a spirit. And just about every emotion that you have comes from a spirit. He that is slow to anger is a spirit. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Do you know what it entails to take a city? You have to be very strong. You have to be very skillful. You have to be very patient. You have to be a man of war. But scriptures say wisdom is better than weapons of war, and wisdom is a spirit. So what this is really saying, if you're patient in spirit, if you slow to anger in spirit, no matter how mighty the person is that opposes you, you're going to be battered. And if you have rulership over your spirit, control over your spirit, then you're going to be stronger, mightier, and better than he that takes a city. And why don't our people want this great strength? Rather than promote their weakness. Every time they get angry, or anything can set them off, or anything can get them upset, and anything can get them off course, and anything gets them down, that's not strength. That's weakness. Every time something is done, you got to comment on, that's not strength at all. The only way you can exhibit strength is by self-control. And our people have to learn how to have self-control, how important it is. Today, our people show how weak they are rather than how strong they are. Watch what it says in the 17th chapter of Proverbs. And this is real important to know. And ask yourself, are you one that is slow to anger, or quick to anger? Are you one to get mad at everything, where you exhibit no patience, no self-control. You always got to show your displeasure. You always got to show your anger. You always got to show disappointment. You always got to show, even if you're not saying it on out of your mouth, you're looking on your face, and everybody can see that you're not happy. And why? Because you're used to showing your weakness. That's when children rise up. You don't just let them get angry because they don't get their way. They don't get what they want. They don't get this. They don't get that. So they show their sadness and their anger and their displeasure for everything. This is not good. This is weakness. Watch what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 27th and the 28th verse. And watch what it says. He that has knowledge spares his words. You see a lot of people, they want to tell you what they know. They always got a comment. I'll be in Sabbath class, and there are some people that always got to say something. They got to say something. And why? Why you got to say something? Why you got to show everybody you know everything? Why you always got to show your knowledge? Because he that has knowledge, they don't talk. He that has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. It takes a certain type of spirit to have an excellent spirit. And you will have an excellent spirit if you know how to shut your mouth. And this is what I try to tell people, but know whether you are a woman or a man, you just got to talk. You just got to be heard. You just have to let them know. I'm going to let them know. You just got to let them know, don't you? Well, that's not a good spirit. That's not knowledge. That's just the opposite. It's weakness. Watch the 28th verse. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Hear that? I'm not going to let no man say nothing to me like that. I'm not going to let no man. Yeah, all you're showing is your foolishness. There's a time and season for everything. And you got to know the times. And even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. Because an excellent spirit, he that has understanding, is of excellent spirit. And if you got understanding, you're going to know when to hold your peace. You know when to talk. You know when to approach someone. But when you're a fool, you don't. But even a fool can be wise if they do certain things. And we're talking about your greatest strength or your greatest weakness. And your greatest strength or your greatest weakness lies within your spirit. That's how I can tell whether a man or a woman is strong or not. A weak spirit will start trouble because they can't hold their tongue. They can't shut their lips. So they always start in trouble with people. They always gossiping, tailbearing, can't hold nothing, can't hold their business, nor anybody else's. And if they can't hold their business, what in the world do you think they're doing with your business? They can't even hold theirs. And here it is, our people foolish enough to listen to people who can't even hold their own business, tell everything. You would sit there and listen to gossip from people who would tell other people business, not realizing that's an indictment on your own spirit. You don't know how to tell, I don't want to know. I don't want to deal with that. No, I'm not, you know, I'm not into that. Watch what the scripture says. Because we're talking about your greatest strength or weakness. In the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter, the 13th verse, and watch what it says. A talebearer reveals secrets. Because that's what talebearers do. They just go around talking, telling people business. But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Yeah, this type of person, they strong. Because they don't got to go around repeating stuff they heard. They don't have to go around saying, have you heard? Did you hear about? No, they don't go around doing that. They hold the matter. They say to you, did you hear about? Yeah, I heard, but I don't go around talking about people's business. That don't concern me. Imagine if everybody was that strong. You wouldn't have no talebearers. And I may add, a talebearer is a direct sin against Yahweh. But many people who engage in this conduct have weak spirits. And when you have a weak spirit, you're going to sin. And when you sin, you're going to be guilty. And what this does, it brings you to the point of low where now judgment is against you. Now we have to determine whether you are the wicked or the righteous. Now we have to determine whether you serve Elohim or serve him not. For the scripture says, Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. So, it is best practices. It is wisdom. It is righteousness that you be one of a faithful spirit. And if your spirit is faithful, then you will conceal matters. You won't just start running your mouth to everybody about things that don't concern you at all. It doesn't concern you. And yet, you will talk about it. You will spread it. You will discuss it. And you will engage in it. This is not good. How do you think Yahweh is so great? For his spirit, the spirit of Elohim, moved upon the face of the water, how will your spirit move? While our people fight with one another, divided against one another, the scriptures teach us, try the spirit by the spirit. The various things that you're not even considering, which are the very spirits, is the very thing that is fighting and warring against you. But you don't even consider it, because you're not concerned about controlling your own spirit. So therefore, the other spirits notice, well, he's not even considering his own spirit. He's not trying to control his own spirit. So I can attack him and war against them at any time. And they do. This is what these spirits do. I just want you to see, before I get right into that, I'm going to show you that there's certain spirits you got to have. And when you have it, then you're always guard against the very spirits. So, for example, in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, and we're talking about your greatest strength or your greatest weakness in your spirit. How well you can control it. And I'm every emotion that you can think of is, it comes about from some type of spirit. Sadness is a spirit. Anger is a spirit. All these things are very spirits. So, for example, in the book of Numbers 14, this is what it says. When our people sinned in the wilderness, this is what the Creator said about those who trusted in him, which was only two, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And watch what he says in the 24th verse, Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And what was this other spirit? It was a faithful spirit. It was a righteous spirit. It was a spirit of strength. Because he didn't allow his circumstances or the people allow him to succumb to any type of sin. And this is what we're doing. This is what Israel is doing today. They have allowed their circumstances as well as the people cause them to succumb to sin, but not Caleb. He had another spirit with him, and this spirit was a spirit of strength. This is why he was ready and able to take a city. Because he exhibited the type of spirit that one must have to overcome. Likewise, in the book of Genesis 41, and again, we're talking about your greatest strength and weakness, because both lie in the spirit. In the book of Genesis 41, this is what Pharaoh said about our father himself. And we're going to start reading the 38th verse. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the spirit of Elohim is?" And who's looking for a man whom the spirit of Elohim is? Who's looking for that? And even if you're looking for that, who can recognize that and say, "Man, he has the spirit of Elohim"? And even if you can recognize that one has the spirit of Elohim, what is it that he has done? What is it that he has shown? What is it that he has produced to say in him is the spirit of Elohim? In other words, it's easier to say, "Well, he's got the spirit of Elohim." But what did he do to show that? What has he said? What has he done? What has he shown? Well, Pharaoh was able to recognize this thing. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "For as much as Elohim has shown you all this, there's none so discreet and wise as you are." In other words, he's shown wisdom and he was discreet. That's what he showed. And what are you showing? What are you demonstrating? What are you saying that determines that you have the spirit of Elohim? And are you even looking for a man that has the spirit? Well, not just a man, anyone that has the spirit of Elohim. And even if you are, can you recognize it? Can you recognize it? And why is the spirit of Elohim so mighty that brings about great strength? What is it so important about this spirit of Elohim, which I may add, people will say they have, but they ain't shown nothing, which they say they is in them, but ain't did nothing. And they say, "I got it," but show the opposite. And I'm going to show you why it's so important. For in the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, I want you to see what David said in the book of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And this is what it says. Now, these are the last words of David. Now, these are his last words. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Elohim of Yaakov, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, watch what he said. He said, the Spirit of Yahweh spoke by me. Can you? Are you reading what I'm reading? Yahweh's Spirit spoke by him. And as a result of this Spirit speaking by him, the Spirit of Yahweh, look what it did. And his word was in my tongue. Yet his word was manifested in his mouth, in his tongue, just by virtue of the fact that the Spirit of Yahweh spoke to him. Now, did he hear a voice? It didn't say he heard a voice at all. But the Spirit of Yahweh spoke by him. And it manifested Yahweh's word in his mouth. Watch the third verse. And the Elohim of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear, shining after rain. In other words, a man that's ruling truly in the fear of Elohim must be just. He rules in the fear of Elohim. And if you don't know how that looks, and if you don't know how that's manifested, it's manifested in a way that it will look like the light of the morning when the sun rises. Very beautiful, very bright, very pleasant. Even a morning without clouds. In other words, there's nothing obstructing this beauty. As the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. This is the manifestation of how a man who rules supposed to look. And how can you look this way if you can't control your spirit? How can you even look like this? You can't. You can't look like this at all. But this is how you're supposed to look. And even though there are men that might look like this, just because a man would look like this, this don't mean everybody can see it. The sun rises every day. And how many want people like seeing the sun rise? Matter of fact, they will sleep right through the rising of the sun. Some people close their curtains just so they won't see the light. Some people will darken the house as dark as they can get, avoiding the light. Some people sleep right past it, won't get up and praise Yah for another day. So don't tell me you can recognize a man that exhibits this type of rulership when you don't even recognize the rulership of the very sun that comes up every day. You don't know the difference between day and night. You don't know the difference from morning and evening. You don't even know what you should be doing every morning at sunrise. So how then can you recognize this type of man? And when a man recognizes another man that has this manifestation within him, this is what you will see. This is how they will respond to it. Watch what it says in the book of 2 Kings, the second chapter. You can be around somebody and you don't even know who you're around. You don't even know the blessing. In the book of 2 Kings, the second chapter, the 9th verse, this is what it says. And it came to pass, when they had gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, and Elijah was a prophet, but Elisha was a prophet also, but Elisha was an understudy of Elijah. And it came to pass, when they had gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you, before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, why would another man want a double portion of another man upon him? Or lest that man who wanted the double portion was able to see the manifestation of that spirit that represented light. And of course, Elisha did. Because Elisha seen that the spirit of Elohim was in Elijah. And he seen the great works. And he said, I want a double portion of the spirit that's on you. Ten verse. And he said, this is what Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. And ain't nothing to offer Yahweh. But Elijah thought it was going to be something that he could leave to him. He thought it was going to be something that he himself can give him. He didn't know the thing that he was going to be asked that he himself couldn't even provide. And that's why he said, this is a hard thing that you ask. How many people are asking for this type of spirit. And watch what it says. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. And of course, Elisha saw Elijah's spirit. He seen him taken away. So he received a double portion. Of the spirit of Elijah. Your greatest strength. Or. Your greatest weakness. Your greatest strength is how well you can control and take ownership of your spirit. And I may add, one that's always blaming somebody else, someone that's pointing a finger at someone else, someone always complaining about things, that's not self-control at all. That's just the opposite. Show you what the Creator said about weakness. Because we just read about strength. Well, what do we say about weakness? Well, let me show you. First of all, if you look, go back to the book of Proverbs. The first sign of weakness is in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter. And I want you to see this. This is the first sign of weakness. That's why I see a lot of people, they see the sun rise every day, but they really not seeing nothing. That's why Yahweh say we have eyes, but we don't see. We have ears, but we can't hear. Who is blind as my messenger, or blind as my servant, and deaf as my messenger, whom I have sent? Watch this in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, the 23rd. Well, let's start at 22. And this is what it says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. And watch what it says. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. If you turn you at my reproof. And this is what people don't want to do. They don't want to be corrected. They don't even want to hear correction. All they want to do is correct. But when you go to correct them, they don't want to hear it. And watch what Yahweh has to say about that. 24th verse. Because I have called, and you refused. How do Yahweh call? Through his spirit. Did it just say, I will pour my spirit unto you and make known my words unto you? But I've called you through your spirit. But you refuse. I've stretched out my hand and no man regard it. But you have said it not, O my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. And this is where our people are today. They refuse to be corrected. They refuse to hear Yahweh's reproof. And there's many people, many leaders, surely I've spoken with. And I came in the name of Yahweh. But yet they still refuse. Let somebody come to me in the name of Yahweh and see whether I will refuse. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs 14. Now we're talking about weaknesses. That's the first sign of your weakness. Is your inability to be corrected. And watch what it says in the book of Proverbs 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. And what is hasty of spirit? Hasty in spirit is you're not patient about nothing. You're not patient on nothing. I don't like what he's saying. I don't like what he's doing. You're just not patient. You got to understand things before you begin to judge things. A lot of things you just got to listen, wait, and see. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to listen. We definitely don't want to wait. And we thought and think that we done seen enough. And you ain't seen nothing. We take one side of the stories and run with it. We see things and run with it. But the strong in spirit, they search out matters. They search things out. And so they don't get caught up. They're slow to wrath. What I'm getting bent out of shape out of this, that's not showing my understanding because I'm getting bent out of shape. That's showing my weakness. Watch what it says in the book of Proverbs 15. And this is how you know you got a weak spirit. The fourth verse. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In other words, if all you can do is allow perverseness to come out of your mouth, it's only because you got a breach in spirit. And what's a breach in spirit? So it's not good. Broken, not in a good way. Broken in a bad way. Every break in the spirit is not good. And this breach is not good at all. Because, again, your greatest strength and your greatest weakness is all predicated on your spirit. They both lie within your spirit. also. In the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. We're talking about your greatest strength and your greatest weakness. And this is the bottom line to which you need to know about your spirit. And this is what it says in the 18th and 19th verse. It said, pride, which is a spirit. A lot of people don't know that. That is a spirit. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. And a pride and haughty spirit, those two different spirits. But neither one are good. They both will destroy and cause one to fall. But the 19th verse is, better is it to be of a humble spirit with lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Here it is. I see a lot of people, they rally around somebody that seems they will, in their mind, they think this person is lowly. And they rally around that person, not realizing this person is dealing with pride and haughtiness. But they rally around. But the one that is lowly, they won't rally around them. And that's because, as I stated before, they don't know the difference. They can't even tell. They can't even see the sun rising. They don't even see that light. So therefore, if they don't recognize the light, how can they then recognize the humble spirit with the lowly? That's the strength, not the pride and haughtiness spirit. Furthermore, in the book of Proverbs 25, because really, in the book of Proverbs 25, this is indeed the bottom line. This is what your affliction and your downfall and your problem lie. This will determine whether your spirit is strong or weak. In the 28th verse, Proverbs 25 and 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In other words, because you have no rulership, anything can attack you. Anything will attack you. Everything you become subject to and subjugated to. That's why the Creator told Cain, sin lies at the door. And unto thee, you shall rule. The only thing a person can rule who has no control is sin. See, you the one in control, but the very thing you controlling is everything bad, because you don't have rulership over your own spirit. So therefore, these spirits can get you. You think it's other people, other things. No, it's just spirits that have you doing their bidding. You doing their bidding. And you don't even realize it. You think you in control, and you have no control. You're like a city without walls. No protection at all. No backup. Nothing to go before you. Nothing on your left side or right side to keep you in the way. Every angle, you are exposed because you have no control, no rule. Therefore, because you have no rule, you subjugate it through every evil that will bring you down. Every spirit that means you no good. Like, for example, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, I want you to see the difference. In the book of 1 Samuel 16, verse, because this is 10th verse. This is when the Creator was choosing a man after his own heart. And watch what he says. 10th verse. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before him. And Samuel said to Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with a beautiful countenance and pleasant to look to. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Yeah, anything you do, great, righteous, and good. This is from Yahweh Spirit. But watch this. 14th verse. But the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from Elohim troubles you. So even Saul knew that he had an evil spirit. And many of you all know that you have an evil spirit. You just won't acknowledge it. And how do you know you have an evil spirit? What righteous spirit would allow themselves to just sit there and listen to a bunch of gossip? What righteous person would sit there and listen to other people's business that has nothing at all to do with them? What type of person would go around tailbearing? That's not a faithful spirit. What type of person would go around scorning and talking about other people? What type of person would just sit there and complain all the time? What type of person can't even rejoice before Yahweh and in the midst of their people? Every time they come around people, they looking evil, sounding evil, and have an evil spirit. Don't have nothing good to say about the women. Don't have nothing good to say about the men. Don't have nothing good to say about Israel, but evil is soothed from the dead. Yeah, y'all know who y'all are, but you're not going to tell the truth and say it's you. But I want to see you, whether you acknowledge it or not. And watch what it says in 1 Kings 22. Because I told you, all these things are spirits. And you trying to fight a man, trying to fight a woman, and don't realize you're fighting a spirit. You don't even know what you fight. You don't even know what it is because you can't even see it. In the book of 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, the 20th verse, or the 19th verse, and he said, hear you therefore the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And Yahweh said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter, and there came forth a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. And Yahweh said to him, wherewith? How are you going to do it? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, You shall persuade him, prevail also, go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and Yahweh has spoken evil concerning you. Because lying in of itself is a spirit. And you be telling people, well, why can't you stop lying? Why you always gotta lie? That's their spirit. And how can you overcome a lying spirit? Well, you can't. The individual that has succumbed to the spirit, only they themselves can overcome that. And they must pray to Yahweh to overcome it. There's nothing you can do. You can't beat them out of it. You can't bribe them out of it. You can't send them to some doctor, because it's from Yahweh. And we got some lying spirits in our people. And I'm saying, oftentimes these spirits, because we so caught up in men and women, we caught up in what we can see, and we really can't see nothing. And the very thing that's warring against you, you're not even considering. Not even thinking about, and not even on guard. And if you can't see it, how can you be on guard? You can't feel it, touch it. If you can't, unless you have the spirit of Elohim. Watch what it says in the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And like I said, we don't recognize nothing. Here it is in the book of 1 Samuel. I want you to see this. How you can mistake a good spirit or a certain type of spirit as some type of bad spirit. 1 Samuel, the first chapter. In the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter, watch our beloved foremother, Connor, who everyone knows as Hannah. In the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter, the 12th verse. Let's start reading fifth verse. It says, but to Connor he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Connor, but Yahweh has shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her grief to make her fret, because Yahweh has shut up her womb. It don't say who this adversary was. It could be Elkanah's other wife. But it could be a certain spirit. We don't know. But it was adversary to her. 7th verse. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of Yahweh. So she provoked her, and it seemed like it was a woman, somebody else. Like I said, maybe his other wife. Therefore, she wept, because she, Elkanah had two wives, and did not eat. You notice it didn't say she started fighting her, she started warring against her. No, she just wept, and she fasted. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Kana, why weep you, and why eat you not? And why is your heart grieved? Am not I better to you than 10 sons? Of course, he didn't understand her spirit. Surely he would have said he was better than 10 sons to say that. A woman who wants a child and can't have one because Yahweh shut up her womb, how's that going to make her happy? Matter of fact, he already was her husband, so this made no sense. So Kana rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after that they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of Yahweh, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to Yahweh and wept tearfully. And she vowed a vow and said, O Yahweh of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before Yahweh, that Eli observed her mouth. Now, Eli, once again, was a high priest. And little do people know, Eli was not a good priest. But nevertheless, he marked her mouth. Now, Kana, she spoke in her heart. She didn't even speak out loud. She was saying that stuff in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. Why do you think she drunk? This woman ain't said nothing. This woman was fasting. This woman was crying and weeping before Yahweh. Why couldn't you ask her, what ails you, my daughter? But no, he just assumed that she was some type of drunkard. And watch what she say. And that's what I'm telling you. People don't even recognize spirits. And 15 verse. And Kana answered and said, no, my master, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, because that also is a spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before Yahweh. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial. What type of daughter is that? A daughter of the wicked. That's what Belial stands for, the wicked. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken till now. In other words, I ain't said nothing. I ain't complained to nobody. I haven't grieved to nobody until just right now, when I was grieving and sending my complaint to Yahweh, and I'm telling you because you done got me looking like some daughter of Belial. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Elohim of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She felt much better because she knew that the priest, even though he wasn't all that good, he still was able to bless in the name of Yahweh because that's what his job was. Spirits, your greatest strength, your greatest weakness. They all lie in the spirit. How well can you control it? Or how often do you fail in self-control? It's up to you. If you want salvation, if you want to be a part of the remnant, you will indeed control it. But if you want to fall and be destroyed, then you will be like a city without walls. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Never know how my light glowed till I stepped through them two doors. Left church, cause that was